Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Kathopanishads, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
I'm sorry. First, I would like to say that it's a great joy to listen and to sit with a close disciple of Swami Shivananda's. I've studied Swami Shivananda for many years, and big part of my life.
Very nice.
I've also studied Shankaracharya, and I know that Shivananda teaches a synthesis of the different paths, and I hear that in your talk. But I know that Shankara teaches that jnanam is the only way, removal of these upadis, removal of ignorance, and that the purpose of all the Upanishads is just to teach the one non-dual Atman.
Let me tell you at this stage, you should follow a guru, not what he teaches, but what he does also. Making a little joke, but understand. Shankaracharya taught Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. But his teachings involve wondrous writings of devotion. Devotion to Vishnu, devotion to Devi, all those. So his impact was in all four aspects of yoga. Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Jnana Yoga. So what he actually projected is, you need to focus on that. And again, all these teachers in old times, they had that special attitude of adhikari bhed. Aspirants are of different qualifications. So people who are qualified more for karma yoga, his teaching will be focused on how to inspire him to do action. Think of that. Gita is nothing but Advaita. Advaita Amrita Varshini. The nectar of Advaita showers through Gita. And yet Krishna goes on telling Arjuna, fight. So therefore there is no contradiction. Advaita of Shankaracharya is just like adoring the sun. But that's all the illuminations of the sun are implied within it. In other words, if anybody attains wisdom, automatically he becomes perfected in karma yoga, perfected in bhakti, perfected in dhyana. All this automatically develops. So whether one highlights yoga, integral yoga, or simply says jnana yoga. Even in the Gita, Lord Krishna says there are four types of devotees. Artha, Artharthi, Jnyasu, Jnani. And then he ends up saying Jnani Vishishyate. One who has attained Jnana means one who has attained perfection in integral yoga. So actually there is no contradiction. Different types of teachings are because there are different people with different qualifications. And so certain teaching inspires a set of people. Say for example, the gathering of people. If teachings are given, and when I come up to saying, all this is mitya, some heads shine up, oh wonderful. But there are people who will remain morose. All this is mitya. Why did I come to this satsang? But then the teaching gives you, why should you, how should you do your work, activity? With the awareness you are worshipping God and allow your heart to blossom. So therefore, same teaching has to inspire all aspects and becomes highlighted into four aspects. Action, devotion, meditation and jnana. For us advanced aspirant, there should be no contradiction. No contradiction regarding whether jnana is the best or bhakti is the best. Excel in any aspect of yoga. You can't do it unless four aspects are together. Become a perfect karma yogi and you are enlightened. Because you cannot be perfect karma yogi unless you are perfect devotee and perfect in meditation and samadhi. So all four being interrelated in such a way, just like hand, head and different parts of your body are together. Head always remains up. In other words, integral yoga, call it integral yoga, call it jnana yoga, call it Shankara's Advaita Vedanta. It's all the same. Okay. Shankara's own personality was, he was the greatest karma yogi. He wouldn't stay even one day at rest. And great bhakti yogi, all profound devotional prayers have come from his writings. And great guidance in meditation. All those things are there. But the highlight of his teaching, all this is mithya. Put everything in proper perspective. Okay.
I don't want to be greedy with your time, with my questions here, but Purusha Tantra, you mentioned Vastu Tantra. What about, what's the distinction? Where does the devotee draw a line between Vastu Tantra and Purusha Tantra? And where does a jnani draw the line between Vastu Tantra? Is there a difference?
Firstly, it is Swatantra and Vastu Tantra. Upasana is Swatantra. Everyone according to his own way. The line of distinction is between feeling and reasoning. When you approach, when you move on the spiritual path, highlighting the feeling, then at that time you should go listen to your heart without any doubt. Because that is Swatantra, the way feeling has emerged. But when you try to understand what is the reality behind the whole world, when you allow your intellect to grasp it, the intellect's function is rationality, and in that rationality, 2 plus 2 is always 4. There is no leniency for anybody. I'm just making a joke. So, and there is no contradiction. My intellect has to go on showing to you that Brahman alone is real. Heart must go on getting into ecstasy. Since all this is God, I don't have to be confined to my ecstasy only for the morning or for the evening. Lali mere lal ki jidde kaun tis lal. I went out to behold the beauty of my beloved. And I began to see that beauty. Who taught you to see? Jnana. That God is everywhere. And when I began to see the beauty of my beloved, I myself became the beloved. Aham Brahmasmi. Yeah.
What about neti neti atman? What about you know, you can't see all as Brahman if
there are two ways of presenting Brahman. Neti neti way, nothing exists. And the example for neti neti is sarparajju nyaya, snake on the rope. Snake has to completely move away. Another illustration the same Vedanta gives, Swarna Kundala Nyaya. Kundal means ornaments of gold. Ornaments of gold will not go away. Necklace will be necklace, rings will be rings, but they are nothing but gold. Brahman alone is Brahme Vedam Sarvam. Two ways of putting it. The sun alone is, or it is the sun alone that shines everywhere. Both are not contradictory. In other words, blending of both gives you a perfect idea. Otherwise, you are disbalancing, becoming too intellectual. That was what the problem was with Buddha's teachings when he said, nothing, nothing he meant, neti, neti. The nirvana concept became difficult for you people to digest. And Shankaracharya had to oppose it. Lead people to understand Vedanta. So if you go into deeper study, you find things are not so simple. Shankaracharya goes on saying the whole world is mithya, etc. But look into his life. There isn't a single day when he is not planning to fight against someone.
Swamiji, I'm confused about free will. I'm not so sure there is free will. Is it a matter of perspective? From ignorance or from...
Let me give a humorous reply. You have the freedom to assert that you are confused. That's your free will. No, to come back to the topic. When you are relaxed, things go fine, how do you feel? You feel you have the choice to take things in your hands. At that time, you don't tell, oh, my son, go bring an astrologer and ask him whether I should do this project or not. When you are well relaxed and prosperous, that question doesn't arise. But when you are finding yourself helpless, then the question arises. Ask someone, how long will this continue? And then comes a sense in your mind, a solace by thinking that things are not according to person's free will. We are all led by fate. Everything happens by fate. Point is that when rajas and tamas increase in your mind, you become more and more fate-inclined person, believing in fate. When sattva increases in you, fate moves away. Daiva daiva alasi pukara. Rajas and tamas makes you alasi, lazy. The lazy people who don't put forth their effort, they're constantly saying, oh, daiva daiva, it's God. Everything happens. But when sattva develops, you begin to exercise your will, exercise your plan, and go ahead. But that doesn't mean that you ignore that God is working through you. When sattva develops, you put forth your effort with surrender to God. That's healthy movement. Surrendering to God is not choosing between destiny and something else. Surrendering to God is a secret of fulfilling your self-effort, inspiring your self-effort. Surrender that inspires. Surrender that doesn't make your self-effort dull. But when there is a confusion, then one has not understood it. In simple points, self-effort is your natural instinct. If that were not so, scriptures wouldn't be taught. All the scriptures taught by Vyasa and Krishna and etc., they should have avoided all this wastage of energy. All that they have to say, one few lines. You are destined. Follow your destiny. Satsanga over. But you reach satsanga, you are told. No matter how miserable you feel, you have within you something by which you can conquer. Self-effort blended with grace. That's the formula of sadhana. That's the reality of spiritual movement.
Swamiji, can you go in a little bit more detail about udasana?
About?
Udasana.
Upasana. Upasana is a devotional meditation. If you are doing japa, and while doing japa, you are meditating on Krishna, Rama, whomsoever. That's called upasana. The moment anything you do invoking God, it becomes an act of upasana. Upasana is just like trying to sit closer to God. Any detail means you have to bring you a big volume of bhakti yoga. All practices of devotion are upasana. If there is negative upasana, there is positive upasana. And no one can live without upasana. The Rakshasas go on doing upasana in a tamasic, rajasic way. The Rakshasas imply the lower self in you. A part of you that goes on hammering the negative day by day. That part is a Rakshasa. Two horns. If the Rakshasas of austerity or practice upasana has gone on for a long time, it becomes very strong. Brahma has no possibility not to give boon to it. I'm just leading into another direction. The stories of the Puranas, where every demon is shown as if he is such a astute practitioner of the austerity. He stands on one foot and he wears on a stand. Indra throws Vajra against him, still he is there. In this process, Brahma comes and says, ask any boon. Simple point is that negative in human being has gone on existing in spite of so many positive things that go on around you. So that is the austerity or the upasana of the negative element within, which is contradicted by positive type of upasana. In spite of things as they are, if you become interested in satsanga, interested in bringing to your mind more and more of spiritual understanding, then the positive in you is doing austerity, unshaken by the negative. Positive in you also stands on one foot. The problems created by negativity of the world come shower upon him, upon that person. Dhruva stood like that, in Dhruva pose, and all the obstacles came, and he was unshaken. When you were told like that, people generally take it literally, but that's not practical. The real meaning behind it is sustained positive movement allows the divine in you to win. Sustained negative allows the negative to win. But negative cannot win forever. It's a short-circuited energy and so forth. That's the realm of upasana. Sattvic upasana, rajasic, tamasic upasana.
How, this is my first time here, so this is all very new to me. But I would like to ask, how does one know if they're on the right spiritual path?
When you take a medicine for headache, how do you know this medicine is the right thing? When headache begins to diminish, I'm giving a joke way of being on the right is instinctive. For that you don't have to turn to anybody. Suppose you have been experiencing distractions of mind, lot of stress, and you followed sadhana, stress has cooled down, so you feel calm, relaxed. You don't have to ask somebody, look, I have been so stressed up and now I feel relaxed. Do you think it is the right thing? Positive movement is self-evident, but yet there is room for question. You are positive movement, you have to still question, is it enough? Should I do something more? And whatever you are told, it ultimately is verified by yourself. As long as it is in a teaching process, it is something different. It has to be verified by your own experience. Right is right, not because somebody says it, because you feel it. Okay?